And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of preachers of righteousness needed for a day of deception. Preachers of righteousness needed for a day of deception. But Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, Jesus said that the harvest is plenteous. And so I believe that we're living in the last days. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 13:39, the harvest is the end of the world. John 4:35, Jesus said, lift up your eyes, for the fields are already white unto harvest. Now, this is Jesus speaking here three times, talking about the harvest is the end of the world. And I know we're living in a wicked age, a wicked day, a wicked nation. I don't have my head stuck in the sand. I mean, I'm one of you. But let's keep in mind, it's still the day of the harvest. Yeah. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, it says, when Jordan means death, Jordan overflows all her banks in the time of harvest. So in the time of harvest, when death is overflowing its banks. So we're living in a day of death, threats of wars, terrorism, and economic collapse. But in spite of all this, this is the day of the harvest, according to the Bible. Yeah. We're told in the book of Amos, chapter 8, that there will come a day when men will run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking the word of the Lord, and they shall not be able to find him.
Yeah.
The Bible says there in 1 Samuel, in the day when Eli was a priest, it was a backslidden priest that wouldn't discipline his children, wouldn't speak repentance, wouldn't preach against sin. It says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days.
Amen.
And that's the day that we're living in. That's the state
Amen.
Of our society.
Amen.
And in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? If people are going to get saved, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Nobody's going to get saved unless they hear the word of God. They're going to get saved by faith in the word of God.
Yeah.
But if they don't hear a preacher preaching the word of God, he didn't say, let them come to you. He said, go to them.
Yeah.
How shall they hear without a preacher? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Yes, preaching always looks foolish to the world.
Yeah.
The sinners will mock. But it's God's method for saving soul.
Amen.
Titus 1:3 said that God hath in due times manifested or revealed his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God's will, God's method, God's way for advancing the kingdom of God is through the preaching of the word of God.
Amen.
But we've got to have preachers. One man traveled through America many years ago. I don't know who said this. And he attended churches many years ago, all across the country. He listened to preaching in America. And after he heard the preaching in America, he realized what made America so great. And that man said that if the preaching in America ever ceases to be great, then America will cease to be great. And that's the day we're living in. Somebody said the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. The Bible said in Acts 20, verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's the problem in America. Almost every preacher you mention, they're preaching part of the counsel of God, but they're not preaching the whole counsel of God. It's not so much what they're saying that's a problem, it's what they're not saying that's a problem. And because they're not preaching the whole counsel of God, they're not pure from the blood of all men. They've got men's blood on their hands. And what this does, it distorts the image of God. It makes God into something that he's not.
Amen.
America's got a false image of
Amen.
God because preachers have not proclaimed the whole counsel
Amen.
Of God. We've made God into something that he's not. The most important
Amen.
Thing is, what is our image of God? What is God like? What pleases him? Who is he? You can tell a lot about a person, what they think about God, what their image of God is, by the way they live their life, by the way they conduct their life. And I'll say this, the basic root problem in America that every other problem comes out of is America has a false image of God. We've made God into something that he's not. Romans 1:18 says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." You know, we've got so much homosex and sodomy. Why people think that homos are born that way and should they be allowed to get married? I'll tell you why. The root of the whole thing is America's got a false image of God. Yeah. And when you've got a false, distorted image of God, you've got rampant homosex and sodomy.
Yeah, that's right.
The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, "So with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God gave them up to strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." They didn't want the truth. They didn't love the truth. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. And for this cause, God gave them over to a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and not the truth. Hosea 4:9 said, "Like people, like priests." Genesis 1:11 and 12 said that every seed produces after its kind. Somebody said, we have faulty conversions because we preach a faulty gospel. The old saying goes, as the preacher goes, so goes the church. Yeah. And as the church goes, so goes the world. When Elijah was called, Elijah and Elisha were both called the prophet, the preacher, or the man of God. They were both called the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. These are the chariot and horsemen in those days were weapons of war. They were the protection of the country. In other words, they were the nation's defense against going into apostasy. Whenever the pulpit goes down, whenever the preaching goes down, the nation's headed towards apostasy. A nation will never rise higher than its preaching, than its preachers, than what comes behind the pulpit. It rises or falls based on what comes out of the pulpit. Ahab called Elijah the troubler of Israel. I wish we had some preachers in America that will be known as troublers of the nation. Amen. He said, "I'm not the troubler of Israel, but you trouble Israel because you forsake the commandments of God and serve Baal." Pilate's wife told Jesus, "Have thou," in Matthew 27:19, "have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Jeremiah was called by God a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against kings, princes, priests, and people. He said, "They will not prevail against you." You know what I like in the pulpit of America too? I liken it to in 2 Kings chapter 2 there, where there was a spring coming out, and then the Bible said that the situation was pleasant, but the water was not, and the land was barren. Well, they brought this situation to Elisha. Elisha said, get a cruse of salt and throw it in the spring. And when they put the salt in the spring, the waters cleared up, the waters got healed, and the land began to bear fruit. And I believe that spring there represents the pulpits. Well, why is America so corrupt? Why is America so polluted? It's because of the unclean, the watered down, the diluted, the polluted, false gospel yep. that's come out of the pulpits.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Our whole society in America is geared towards selfishness, covetousness, and greed. Humanism. Paris Reed had said humanism is where the goal is the happiness, the pleasure, and the comfort of man is the end of all things, as opposed to the glory of God being the goal and the end of all things. Yeah. You know, hey, I take pleasure in serving the Lord. You know, we take great pleasure in the Lord. But you know what? He's not there for our pleasure. The Bible said in Revelation 4:11 that we are created for His good pleasure. Well, unfortunately, most of the... Why am I preaching this here? Well, number one, we need to pray that God will raise up preachers of righteousness to advance the kingdom of God. Number two, we must contend with this Amen. In our preaching.
Amen. Yes.
Well, this goal of the happiness, the pleasure, the comfort of man being the end of all things has become the goal of much preaching in America. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And you know, I believe in the power of God to heal the sick and cast out devils. But when that context there, it's talking about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, then that's not what it's talking about there. That's talking about the power of God to live a godly life. Yeah. To go from being unthankful to being thankful. Yeah. From unholy to holy. Yeah. From a lover of your own self to a lover of God. Yeah. From a lover of pleasure to a lover of God. Well, why is it that way? That's a situation, but how did it get that way? You go down a few more verses. 2 Timothy 3:13 says this, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." That's why you've got this wicked society. Nobody's standing up and proclaiming the truth. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 says, There were false prophets also among the people, is so shall there be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness, in other words, through selfishness, through greed, through covetousness, shall they with feign words or false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Hey, how do these men deny the Lord Jesus Christ? They don't deny Him necessarily by what they say with their mouth. Hey, everybody in America professes to love Jesus Christ. Everybody's a Christian. But Titus 1:16 says this, "They profess that they know God, but in works deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate." They don't deny God by what they say. They deny God by their lifestyle, the way they conduct their life. Jude 1:4 said, "There are certain men crept in unawares, who are before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly." godly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That they turn the grace of God, which is the power of God, to live a holy life, a life above sin, a life free from sin, into a license to sin. 2 Peter 2:18 said, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error." They preach a message that condones or give license to a lifestyle of self-indulgence, as opposed to the lifestyle of self-denial that the Lord Jesus commanded. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 14:33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple."
Amen.
Titus 1:11 said, "Teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake."
Yes.
Romans 16:18 said, "They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple." That is most of what passes for preaching in America today, is good words and fair speeches. Yes. Nice sounding things. Don't offend. Make people feel good about themselves. Puff them up. You know what Ezekiel 13:22 says? "Because with lies you've made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return it from his wicked way by promising him life." We preach messages. We make the sinner think he's all right. We don't want to convict him of his sin, make him realize he's condemned before God and headed to hell. We strengthen the hands of the wicked. We cause him not to return from his wicked way by promising him life, making him think he's all right when he's not, and it makes the heart of the righteous sad. Lamentation 2:14 said, "The prophets did not discover thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity," because the preachers did not point out and put their finger on the people's sin. They didn't deliver them from the captivity that they were bound to.
Amen, preacher.
Jeremiah 6:13 says, "From the least to the greatest of them, every one of them is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." They told them they were all right when they were not. They superficially treated their sin. They stuck a band-aid on a cancer. Isaiah 30:9-11 said, "Speak." The people said, "We don't want to hear the law of God. Speak not unto us right things. Prophesy unto us deceits. Prophesy smooth things. We don't want to hear a word that's got a sharp edge on it. Something that's going to pierce our heart." But the Bible said in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Amen. "Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart."
Yes.
If it's the word of God, it's going to pierce and penetrate the heart. It's going to divide the soul from the spirit. It's going to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and leave the sinner naked and open under the eyes of a holy God. Amen. With whom he has to stand before and give an account. Zephaniah 3:4 said, "Her prophets are light and treacherous persons." He said their priests have done violence to the law. Habakkuk 1:4 says, "Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth, for the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." The law of God has been slacked. Don't judge. Don't preach about judgment. Judgment is slack. And therefore the wicked compass about the righteous, and wrong judgment proceedeth. People call good evil and call evil good.
Right.
The Bible said we're living in a day of Isaiah 59:15. It says, he that departs from evil maketh himself a prey. Psalm 12:1, David said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Verse 8 said, "The wicked walk on every side. When the vilest righteous men are exalted. David cried in Psalm 119, 126, it is time for thee to work, Lord, for they have made void thy law. Yep. God's law has been made void.
Right.
And we're crying out for God to raise up preachers of righteousness to proclaim, to pronounce, to declare the law of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Real biblical preaching will produce a lifestyle of self-denial that glorifies God. You want to know if somebody's standing in the counsel of God or not? Here's the acid test. Jeremiah 23:22, Jeremiah said, if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. When men are standing in the counsel of God and hearing what God is saying, they will preach a message that will turn men from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Here's the thing. Stand in the counsel of the Lord is not some great glamorous thing that everybody thinks it is. The Bible said in Psalm 24:3-5, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Yes.
He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Saints, it takes a holy man to stand in the holy counsel of God and hear a holy word from God and allow that word to penetrate his heart and deal with his heart, and then have the courage and the boldness to stand up and deliver it faithful to the people God told him to deliver it to. 2 Peter 1:21 said, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It takes a holy man to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and speak a holy word from God to a people that are going to hate his message.
That's
Paul
right.
said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:1-2, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Where this message is needed.
Amen.
Preachers of righteousness for a day of deception. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We're in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Yes,
and as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in these days. And 2 Peter 2:5 said that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly.
Right.
God raised up Noah, a preacher of righteousness. You know why Noah didn't get destroyed with everybody else? Because he wasn't just a boat builder, a ship builder, letting his light shine. He was a preacher of righteousness.
Yeah.
He stood up and spoke out. He rebuked the darkness, the iniquity around him.
Amen.
Bible said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
Amen, that's right. We're living in those days, brother.
Isaiah 58 said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. Micah 3:8 said, but truly I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin.
Yes.
The evidence that Micah was baptized in the Holy Ghost was because he preached against their sin. He stood up and spoke out. Well, here we go. Everybody, standing in the counsel. Oh, I want to stand in the counsel of the Lord. I want to hear a word from God. Preaching in a way that causes men to turn from their sinful ways and live a lifestyle of self-denial that glorifies God will always bring opposition and persecution.
Right.
You wonder why the apostles prayed in Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. Why they pray for boldness to speak the word of God? Because a majority of the people didn't like their message and would want to kill them.
Right.
You wonder why Jesus said in Matthew 10:27-28, what I tell you in darkness, speak ye in the light.
Right.
And what you hear in the ear, preach upon the housetops. But then you know what he says? Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Because when you stand in the counsel of the Lord and hear what God is saying in secret, and you go out and you proclaim it publicly upon the housetops, the society whose sins you're preaching against will want to kill you.
Yes.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, and in tumults.
Yes.
I one time this guy, he didn't like me, and he was reading my reports. He said, the only thing I ever hear about in your reports is riots, assaults, and arrests. I said, well, Paul's ministry was approved through stripes, imprisonments, and tumults.
Amen.
Approved by God. Hey, I'm not saying that's the only thing you got to have, but if you don't have any of it, how is your ministry approved of God?
Yeah.
According to the best Bible. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
I know it's been said many times, but you know why the church in America doesn't suffer much persecution? Because it's only those that are living godly that suffer persecution.
That's
not living godly enough to arouse the wrath of the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Paul said, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. We might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. These men could endure all this opposition and persecution because they weren't preaching the gospel for false motives. They weren't preaching for the praise or the flattery of men. They weren't preaching for gain or money or covetousness.
Amen.
They were preaching for a love for God and a love for souls.
Amen.
Revelation said, Revelation 1:9 said, John was in prison for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 6:9 said, these that are they that were slain for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 24 said, these are the ones that were beheaded for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Hey, live your life as a Christian. Be nice. Everybody will like you. But begin to preach against their sin. Begin to preach the word of God and everybody will come against you.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Great.
The Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 6:19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Amen.
Hey, this wasn't, you know, some church where they didn't get behind his message. Hey, this guy was in prison. That's why he's praying for boldness. Jeremiah 23:18. Jeremiah said, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? You wonder why God asked that question. Paul said in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said in Acts 20:24, But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. As long as we, saints, brethren, as long as we count our life dear unto ourselves, we'll never be able to fulfill what God has for us, because we will be too afraid to be willing to lay down our life for what God has us to do and endure the opposition and the persecution that will come against it. Well, you know, if you love Jesus, it's no cross to read your Bible. It's no cross to pray. No cross to go to church. But Jesus said this in Mark 8:35. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You know, he didn't say my sake. He said my sake and the gospel's. You know where the real suffering comes from? You know where the real opposition comes from? The real persecution comes from? It comes for the gospel's sake. Yep. That's where the real sacrifice is. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul said in Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Hey, you know, Paul said that, Jesus didn't put all the sufferings there that's needed to advance the kingdom of God. He said, we're going to have to suffer some things to advance the kingdom of God. And he said in Colossians 1:28-29, he said in verse 27, whom we preach, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, he's talking about preaching. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. If we're going to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, it's going to take both warning and teaching. Everybody likes the teaching, they don't like the warning. The next verse he says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. In other words, this end, that all men would be made perfect in Christ Jesus, he's striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. If we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, we yield ourselves to the sake of the gospel, the Spirit of God will strive through us mightily to bring men perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Romans 1:14-15, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Acts 6:4 said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15, I will very gladly spend and be spent. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Acts 15:26 said, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God told Ananias about Paul in Acts 9:15-16. He said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before kings and Gentiles and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Where was the suffering going to come in? When he tried to get the gospel to those people that God had called Paul to get the gospel to. Kings, Gentiles, and the children of Israel at their hands. Paul said in Romans 14:9, for to this end Christ both died, rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. The end of Jesus Christ coming, dying, and being resurrected was that Jesus might be Lord of all. And you know what? We ought to live for that same end. We ought to give our life in that same end, that same goal, that same desire, that Jesus might be Lord of all.
Amen.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:9, he said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he's done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He's talking about laboring to be accepted with God. He's talking about standing before the judgment seat of Christ and giving account for what we do. And he's talking about knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade all men.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jeremiah said, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Who has perceived and heard his word? You know, one thing we need in America, men that'll preach sound doctrine. Seem like, you know, doctrine is, you know, not important anymore. You know, doctrine is just a bunch of cerebral stuff. But here's what the Bible says. Paul said in Hebrews 6, beginning of verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. One of the foundations of the doctrine of Christ is a doctrine of eternal judgment. Very little preaching on judgment in America. Amos 6:3 said, you that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. What that's saying is, when men don't preach about the day of judgment, they don't talk about the evil day, they put far away the evil day, men lose all restraint, and they cause the seed of violence to come near. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You want to know why men's heart in this nation are fully setting them to do evil? Because they don't hear about the judgment of God.
Amen.
Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:10, thou hast, first thing he said, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. He before he even knew about his lifestyle, he puts doctrine first. Acts 2:42 said, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Even before prayer there, they said they continued in doctrine. I'm not saying we pray too much. I'm just saying what the Bible says.
Amen.
Titus 1:9 said, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. The only way to be able to convince and exhort the gainsayer to turn from his sin, turn to God, is by having sound doctrine. Praying that God will raise up men that will preach sound doctrine. Romans 6:17 said, Paul said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Bible doctrine will always turn men from their sin and turn them to a lifestyle of obedience unto God. But Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Bible doctrine will always produce a godly lifestyle. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Timothy 3:16 said, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hey, real truth, real Bible doctrine will always produce a lifestyle of good work, obedience to the word of God, action in believers.
Amen.
Amen.